nor bruise the tender ears, or travel overseas, well poised above the swollen floods, nor dip her flying feet in ocean's waters. This is speed, estimated by its own standard, not the kind which wins praise by comparison with that which is slowest. Would you call a man well who has a light case of fever? No, for good health does not mean moderate illness. They say, the wise man is called unperturbed in the sense in which pomegranates are called mellow, not that there is no hardness at all in their seeds, but that the hardness is less than it was before. That view is wrong, for I am not referring to the gradual weeding out of evils in a good man, but to the complete absence of evils. There should be in him no evils at all, not even any small ones, for if there are any, they will grow, and as they grow, will hamper him. Just as a large and complete cataract wholly blinds the eyes, so a medium-sized cataract dulls their vision. If, by your definition, the wise man has any passions whatever, his reason will be no match for them, and will be carried swiftly along, as it were, on a rushing stream, particularly if you assign to him not one passion with which he must wrestle, but all the passions. And a throng of such, even though they be moderate, can affect him more than the violence of one powerful passion. He has a craving for money, although in a moderate degree. He has ambition, but it is not yet fully aroused. He has a hot temper, but it can be appeased. He has inconstancy, but not the kind that is very capricious or easily set in motion. He has lust, but not the violent kind. We could deal better with a person who possessed one full-fledged vice than with one who possessed all the vices, but none of them in extreme form. Again, it makes no difference how great the passion is, no matter what its size may be. It knows no obedience and does not welcome advice. Just as no animal, whether wild or tamed and gentle, obeys reason, since nature made it deaf to advice, so the passions do not follow or listen, however slight they are. Tigers and lions never put off their wildness. They sometimes moderate it, and then, when you are least prepared, their softened fierceness is roused to madness. Vices are never genuinely tamed. Again, if reason prevails, the passions will not even get a start. But if they get underway against the will of reason, they will maintain themselves against the will of reason. For it is easier to stop them in the beginning than to control them when they gather force. This halfway ground is accordingly misleading and useless. It is to be regarded just as the declaration that we ought to be moderately insane or moderately ill. Virtue alone possesses moderation. The evils that afflict the mind do not admit of moderation. You can more easily remove than control them. Can one doubt that the vices of the human mind, when they have become chronic and callous, diseases, we call them, are beyond control, as, for example, greed, cruelty, and wantonness. Therefore, the passions also are beyond control, for it is from the passions that we pass over to the vices. Again, if you grant any privileges to sadness, fear, desire, and all the other wrong impulses, they will cease to lie within our jurisdiction. And why? Simply because the means of arousing them lie outside our own power. They will accordingly increase in proportion, as the causes by which they are stirred up are greater or less. Fear will grow to greater proportions if that which causes the terror is seen to be of greater magnitude or in closer proximity, and desire will grow keener in proportion as the hope of a greater gain has summoned it to action. If the existence of the passions is not in our own control, neither is the extent of their power, for if you once permit them to get a start, they will increase along with their causes, and they will be of whatever extent they shall grow to be. Moreover, no matter how small these vices are, they grow greater. That which is harmful never keeps within bounds. No matter how trifling diseases are at the beginning, they creep on apace. And sometimes the slightest augmentation of disease lays low the enfeebled body. But what folly it is, when the beginnings of certain things are situated outside our control, to believe that their endings are within our control. How have I the power to bring something to a close when I have not had the power to check it at the beginning? For it is easier to keep a thing out than to keep it under after you have let it in. Some men have made a distinction as follows, saying, if a man has self-control and wisdom, he is indeed at peace as regards the attitude and habit of his mind, but not as regards the outcome. For, as far as his habit of mind is concerned, he is not perturbed, or saddened, or afraid. But there are many extraneous causes which strike him and bring perturbation upon him. What they mean to say is this: